Well, today we are going to be looking at the judgments of the nations and of the wicked. That's two different judgments. Well, no, not really. It's actually one judgment. Wow. I look up there and I look down here, and what a difference. Wow. That is just amazing. So if you would, open your scriptures to the book of Matthew. We're going to be in the 25th chapter. We're actually going to be dealing with the very scriptures that I used to teach the children from today. Matthew in chapter 25, we're going to be beginning in verse 31, and this is the sheep and the goats. And we all know this piece of scripture fairly well, but we're going to read it, and we're going to look at it, and we're going to see what's going on here, because this is the judgment of the nations. And I want us to understand that, because then we're going to go somewhere else, because this little red book that we've been using, in fact, I left mine back here, the little red book that we've been using actually calls this one the judgment of the nations, and then the other one the judgment of the wicked. And I guess there's a reason why they do that, but theologically I have to look at it and bring it back to the reality that they are one in the same judgment. All right, they really are one in the same judgment. The one's just being told in a parable form with metaphors, and the other is a revelation of what is actually seen, okay, by John. Jesus is using his type of preaching, and at this point in time, if you know Jesus, at this point in time, he's preaching with metaphors, he's preaching with, I just said the word and can't come to my brain right now, parables. Thank you, Joyce. And this is one of those, all right? Because he's talking in a manner to hopefully allow the people to see a word picture. And I don't know about you, but I love word pictures because I can grab a hold of them. I can look at them and say, oh, it's kind of like this. Yes, that's the whole thing. That's what a word picture is about. Let us read the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. They will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Blessed be the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this judgment, we see several things happening. At the very beginning of it, it says that when the Lord comes in his glory, when he comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his throne in heavenly glory. Now, the authors of the little red book that, well, actually it's the Bible, but the author of the manuscripts within that little red book, they believe a little bit different theologically than we do or than I do. And what they call this is the judgment of the nations, that this is going to be the judgment of the living at the beginning of the tribulation. Well, I don't believe that to be the case, because there's nowhere else in Scripture that it speaks of such a judgment, okay? We read the Scriptures and we read of two different judgments. We read of the Bema Seat judgment, which, by the way, it's not called the Bema Seat anywhere in Scripture. Does anybody know what Bema means, where Bema Seat comes from? Well, then let me teach you. It actually comes from the Olympics, okay? Because at the Olympic Games, the judge would sit on a bench, and it was from that bench he would judge all the tournaments. He would declare the winners and the losers, etc., etc., all right, based upon how he perceived the way they went about their chore, whatever game or whatever participation they were in. He would give to them their rewards from that bench. That's what the Bema Seat is. When we come to Christ, because we've been saved through the resurrection, all right, we will go before God, and this is 1 Corinthians 10, Colossians 10, where we're looking at wood, hay, or straw, gold, precious stones, silver, all right? That's the Bema Seat, where we are judged as to what we have done in life, whether it will go on into eternity or whether it will be burned up. It's our rewards judgment. It's not salvation judgment, okay? We're talking about salvation judgment here, aren't we? We're talking about people going on to eternal life and people going on to damnation. Well, there's only one time that judgment happens, and that is at the end. Now remember, what does it say? When Jesus comes in His glory. Now wait a minute, you mean when He comes on the clouds, He's not going to be coming in glory? You're all looking at me like, okay, we want to say yes, but I have a feeling we're going to be wrong. When He comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, will He be coming in glory? Yes. But He's also coming as the judge, isn't He? He's coming as the judge and as the ruler. He's not coming in the eternal glory of love and comfort and peace. He is coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, there is a glory in that, but it is not the fullness of His glory, because the fullness of His glory takes in all the aspects of His character, all right? Because we are told that during the millennium, Christ will reign with what? An iron scepter. Now, does that sound like fun to you, Root? It's not going to be fun. Because He is going to be ruling over all the multitudes of people who are left on earth, and there will not be any sin. Sin will not be allowed to rise up. That iron scepter is meant to crush sin, all right? There's a lot of people out there who think that, oh, the millennium is going to be so wonderful. No, why do you think when Satan's loosed at the end of 13 years, the people rebel against God again? Because they didn't get what they wanted. They got righteousness. They got what is good, what is holy. We are yet sinners, all right? If you are still here after the tribulation, after Christ sets up His reign, you're still going to have a free will. Now, those of us who are in Christ and raptured away, we do not. For our will has been set unto Christ. All right? We will be changed. We will be His bride. But the people who reign and rule here on earth, they're still fully human. You hear what I just said? Still fully human. They still have the ability to choose. Now, when I drive down the road and the speed limit says 55 and I'm doing 70... I just chose not to obey the law, right? How would you like to have Jesus as your state police cop? Do you think you're going to get away with it? Absolutely not. The law will not be broken. The law will stand. Because remember, what Israel wanted? Because remember, the millennium is for Israel, folks. What did Israel want? They wanted their king. They wanted their ruler. They want this place of domination. Well, they're going to get it. The millennium is meant for the judgment of Israel. A lot of us don't understand that. We think the millennium is going to be this wonderful time, and oh, You know, we're going to lay with down with the lamb. It's going to lay with the lion. Hey, that's the animals, people. We ain't animals. We're worse. Think about it. What do human beings do to one another? We lie, we cheat, we steal, we kill. Now, yeah, the animals eat each other. But let's face it, we've had people do that too. Yeah, it's that disgusting. But we need to understand that when we look at this, when it says that he's going to come in his glory, this is talking about a future present thing, all right? This is talking about something that is out there. And it's talking about something that's going to happen that Jesus is really trying to get the people to understand that there's going to be this great separation of those who are going on unto eternal life and those who are going on to eternal damnation. And he's giving them simple things to look at. Now, you know, which would you rather have me say? Okay, and remember, Jesus has said things like this. Which would you rather have me say? Steve, I want you to give people food who are hungry. I want you to give people something to drink, clothe people, be nice to people, love people. Or Wayne, would you rather have me say, now, you got to follow all my rules, all my regulations, do everything I tell you. Which would you rather have? Which is simpler? The first one's simpler, isn't it? Jesus is simply trying to show them love, 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 love. What does the scripture say? Love. God is love. And if we truly love one another, we will do everything he says, right? Isn't that what he says? That's his whole point here. He's trying to show us, do these things of love. Be these people, all right? How can I say that? Well, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Revelation, chapter 20. Because that's where we find the great white throne judgment. In fact, that's what it's called there here, is the great white throne. Chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. And it's kind of amazing to me, because what do you think the glory of God's going to look like? It's going to be this great white light. Remember, when we see God in all his glory, it is going to be a white light so bright that nothing will outshine it, okay? Because he is the sun. There is no moon. There is no sun. He is the light of the universe, right? So you're talking about a white light that is so bright, so pure, that there's no darkness in it, all right? That sounds like glory to me. Huh. Let's read what he says. From verse 11, thus saith the word of the Lord. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who is seated on it, earth and sky, fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in these books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. Now, do you see anywhere in there where it speaks about living people? Why do you think it doesn't say anything in there about living people? Because they're already there with him. Who has to join them? The dead, because they aren't there. The dead are away. So the dead have to be brought near. All right? This is the judgment of the nations. This is the great white throne judgment. This is the one and same judgment that we just read about in the book of Matthew. How do I know that? There's several things in here we need to look at. First thing that we need to look at is, it says in here that each person's works will be judged. Read verse 12. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which was the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. What does Matthew say back here? I was hungry. And you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. That's works. All right? Do you see the catch-all? This is one and the same judgment. The wicked will be judged. All right? The separation of the sheep and the goats happens at this very time. Why? Because we who are alive are already there. Why are we even there? Because, you know, I've been told, and I think it's funny because you hear this all the time, oh, we'll never see the Bema seat, or we'll never see the great white throne judgment. Yes, we will. We will be right there. We will be there with Christ. But he's going to separate us. And what does he say first? He says, you who are blessed by my Father, come and receive your inheritance, the kingdom of God prepared for you before the foundations of the earth. And we are received unto him and ushered out. Because we'll not see the judgment of the wicked. Because that would be hell. They'll be there, but we're taken out. We're ushered out into eternity. And then the judgment of the wicked happens. Isn't that what this just tells us? Did I make it up? No. Read the book. What does it say? Those who are righteous are ushered unto eternity. And then the judgment of the wicked comes. Okay? That's the goats. And the goats are taken away and put into the lake of fire. When we begin to understand just what's going on here, we understand something. Why are we even present? And this is something, and Joyce has no idea what God did with her today. Because we're there for a very real reason. And Joyce sang it. And you didn't even know it. I didn't know it until you started singing it. And the Lord spoke to me sitting here, and he said, listen, I've got it all laid out. This is so cool. If God's not in the house, I'm not in the house. And I mean that. We are there. Why? Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. The second chapter of the book of Ephesians, verses 1 through 9. This is just so amazing to me. From the first verse of the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, we read these words. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We're there for a reason. We're there so that people can see the scars and know that we were exactly where they were. We were without excuse. We had no excuse. We should have been in hell ourselves, but something was different between us and them. What is that difference? Christ Jesus. Jesus came into our lives. We, by faith, received that love poured out on the cross of Calvary, and we accepted that payment, and we began to live a transformed life. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you here are perfectly whole and wholly perfect? How many of you here are on the way? That's what it's all about. You and I are on the way because God is healing us but the scars are still visible all the way unto eternity. Jesus' scars are visible. Why? So that at the judgment everyone may know. Our scars are going to be visible so that God's incomparable riches, His grace, would be seen in that coming age. Didn't we just read that? That's why. God removes the hurt, but the scars are still there in our bodies that we may be seen as who we are. Why do you think the books are gotten out? Because that way, when it's written down, the people who are coming and saying, wait a minute, they were a bad person too, and what about me? You know, I did all this stuff. You did all this stuff for yourself, and the book is read out of. You didn't do this for me. You did this stuff for yourself. I mean, there are going to be people out there who have built hospitals, started orphanages, opened food banks, and they're going to be in hell because they didn't do it for love, they did it for money. They did it for self-recognition. They didn't do it selflessly. You know, that's one of the things that I think is amazing when you go into some of these places and these people are so, oh, yes, look, you know, I just gave and gave until it hurts. And the building has their name on it. You want to give until it hurts? Don't tell anybody you did it. Isn't that what Jesus said? Don't tell anybody you did it. Because as soon as you tell somebody you did it, you just got all your reward. Okay? Now, I'm going to pick on a gentleman, and please don't hear me judging his salvation. But when you drive through New York and you see the Trump building, his reward's in that. That's it. I don't care what happens inside that building. I don't care how many people get saved inside that building. Mr. Trump doesn't get anything out of it. Why? Because his name's on the building, and he's getting his reward here and now. All right? That's just a metaphor of kind of what I'm talking about. We need to look at things in life and try and gain an understanding. When you and I understand this, we're going to understand another reality. Turn to Romans chapter 1. One of the things I love about God's Word is it is ever revealing. He is ever revealing. That's why it's called Revelation. The entire book is His revelation unto the church and the world, if the world will come to it. In chapter 1, we're going to be in verse 18 through 25. Because we have accepted grace. We have walked into grace, that we could be an example, that when people look upon us, because, you know, how many of us, when we get to heaven, are going to be so boastful and say, oh, yes, Jesus, looky what I did for you. When we stand before Him, where are we going to be? We're going to be prostrate before the Lord. We're going to be on our faces before the Lord. And we're going to be casting these crowns off and saying, Lord, we don't deserve this. You did this through me. Because we remember, as Joyce's song told us, we remember what He did because it's that remembrance that presses us forward, right? Those things are there not only to impress the world of God's grace and show His great love in ages to come, but they're also there to remind us. They're there to remind us of the great wonder that God has given us. All right? But looky here. Looky here from verse 18. Thus saith the word of the Lord. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. This is grace thrown away. These people are the people at the end who will have seen the goodness of the Lord. For no man is without excuse. For each and every one of us, as we are out there in the world, we see the Creator in the creation. And they have no excuse. Because not only have they seen it there, but they've seen it in the life of the church. And they've rejected the church, and they've rejected God. And you and I need to understand that this is why we're here. We are called to be a witness into this world, so that when the end does come, those who are being saved, and we're supposed to snatch them from the flames. You do read the book of Jude, right? Read the last couple verses in the book of Jude. Because the flames won't hurt you. The fires of hell can't hurt us. How do you like that? How many of you have ever reached into a lighter or a candle or touched something hot and got burnt, right? We all know what it means to get burnt. Whether it be spiritually or physically or emotionally, we know what it means to get burnt. The amazing thing is, we can reach right into the fires of hell and not be burnt. We have eternal asbestos. I like that thought, don't you? Eternal asbestos. I can never be burnt by the flames of hell. We can walk right through hell. And I think we are an extent of it because we're in this world and all the things. And he who is in charge of this world right now? Oh, it is hell on earth some days, isn't it? We all know it. And we are in this, and we can grab a hold of those who are burning up and never be burnt. We can grab a hold of them, plead with them, beg with them, pray with them, and bring them by the power of the Holy Spirit unto the saving grace that we know. And that's what we're to be about. We're to be that witness. We're to be those ones who are scarred by our past, but healed by our present and our future in Christ Jesus. Amen? Brothers and sisters, as we look, there is a judgment of the nations coming, and there is a judgment of the wicked coming. They are one and the same. They happen once. They don't happen twice. There's nowhere else in Scripture that it speaks of a second judgment. Scripture, from the Old Testament to the end of the New Testament, speaks of the judgment. All right? And that is the judgment at the end, the great white throne judgment. One judgment, the judgment of the nations, the judgment of the wicked. Because we are not judged unto damnation, but we are separated unto life. They are separated unto death, unto eternal damnation. Praise be to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He called us by name, and we chose to be a sheep. I don't know about you, but I feel like putting on some wool. Some cleaned wool. White as snow. That we may be the flock of God. Would you pray with me this day? Gracious Lord, we just ask this day that You would clothe us in Your righteousness. And Lord, that's what I was talking about here at the end. For Lord, You have given us garments as white as snow. And Lord, in that we will be seen as Your sheep, Your lambs. Father, we thank You that You sent Your Son. And Lord Jesus, we thank You that You called us by name. And Holy Spirit, we thank You that You can empower us to do the same, to go out and to fulfill the commission that the Lord has given us. Oh, gracious Lord, the day is growing darker, and it will soon be night when no one can work. Help us, I pray thee, to call the lost, that they may be found and may know the grace of your love. For, Lord, we are that grace, and in you we stand. For we have no grace of our own, but only that that you pour out upon us. Keep us now, I pray thee, as we go into this week, and give us the safety and sanctity that only you can bring. By the power of your will, O Lord, wash over us and keep us now and empower us to do the more as we live those transformed lives before a world that sees our scars but knows our hope. For this we pray thee in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's children said, and amen.